So how many of you have ever watched a movie where there's this person that's falling off of a cliff and the person reaches out and grabs them to save them and they're holding on and they're usually on there, they're saying, just let me go, just let me go. And I don't understand that, but that's a very intense part of the movie, you know, that you see sometimes. But then let's think about how many times do you hear people that are talking to someone about their past or about a hurt or something like that, and they're telling them, just let it go. Well, you know, I'm not saying that letting go of things is a bad thing, but I am saying that the devil wants us to have a just let it go mentality. And so I think that if I went around the room this morning, I could talk to you and I could ask you, you know, are there things that are causing you to want to let go? And so this morning, I want to have you turn to your neighbor and I want you to say to them, hold fast. Hold fast. Because I know that as I went around the room, you guys would tell me that jobs and finances and pressures of life are all trying to get you to let go of your faith. Relationships, circumstances, storms that are pulling on you, hoping that you'll let go of the faith that you have in God. And I believe that it's the devil's desire that he is trying to come up with a plan to get you and I to let go. But as you read your Bible and as we look today, you're going to find out that that isn't God's plan at all. Let's take a look at Joshua 23, verses 8 through 11 real quick. It says, but you are to hold fast, not let go, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you will chase 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Amen. What this is saying is that just because you've decided to hold fast, that the enemies that were coming against you are going to turn around and run from you. When you decide to hold fast to the Lord will begin to fight the battles for you. Amen. So today we're going to look at a story in the Bible that not too many of us really like to look at. It's the story of Job. Some of us feel like Job at times, I understand. And to look at this story, there may be some of you in the room that have never heard the story, but the Bible tells us that Job was an upright man. And Job had great faith in God. And it even goes so far to say that there was no one like him in all the land. And so Job was this great man of faith. And Job had a lot of things. He had a wife and 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had, I believe it was like 7,000 sheep and 3,000 goats. And I mean, he just had a lot of stuff. God had blessed him because of his faith. But then you can move over into chapter 2 of the story and you see where the devil has approached God and they're God's saying, what have you been up to? And he says, man, I've been searching to and fro. He's been going around trying to find somebody that he can destroy. And you see here in the scripture that God says, well, have you considered my servant Job? Wow, that's crazy, isn't it? And so I want us to take a look at the story. Starting in Job chapter 2, verse 6, the Lord said to Satan, well, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. Now, I want us to kind of go back just a little bit, a part that I want to make sure you are aware of. You see, before this, God and the devil had already had this conversation. And so the devil went out and he went and he destroyed his family. He took the lives of his children, took all of the lives of his animals, his land, took everything that Job owned. He lost all of his possessions. And so Job still stood strong in his faith. But we see here in our verse that we're looking at today, now Satan has come back to God and he said, yeah, you know, he said, the reason he hadn't let go is because you hadn't let me touch him. And so here in our scripture today, it says, well, very well then, he's in your hands, but you must spare his life. He was saying, you can come at him, but you gotta spare his life. I'm going to tell you, I don't like that scripture very much. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, you're telling me that here's a man that walked upright with God and he's had his life handed over to Satan. You know, Job didn't commit a sin. Job didn't mess up. Job didn't do anything wrong to cause this trial to come on his life. In fact, Job had done everything that God had told him to do, And still, a storm is brought into Job's life. But I want that to encourage someone here today. Because, you know, you can stop saying, well, I've done everything you've asked me to do, Lord. Why is this storm coming into my life? Been there, done that, said it myself, you know. And so I think everybody's probably said that at some point in their life. God, I'm serving you. I'm doing everything you want me to do. And this is happening to me? I just don't understand. Well, I want you to understand something. Here's a man that Satan threw everything that he had at, but he still stood fast in his faith. He still held fast to his faith. And so I want that to be something that you can be encouraged by, because I love that part of the story. It tells me that if Job can do it, I can do it. And if Job can do it, you can do it. Amen? And so I kind of see God in this whole scenario as I'm reading this. I can see God kind of having this smirk on his face saying, like, have you ever considered my servant Job? You don't know the kind of faith this guy has. You know, and he's just kind of got this smirk on his face. And so I'm just curious, is there anyone in the room this morning that God would have that much confidence in? That he could turn you over to the devil and he could say, take your best shot, because I know that they're not going to let go. Whew, that's a powerful question there. Let's go on. Let's look at verse 7 if we can. It says, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now I want you to see something there. I want you to see something. Satan went out of the presence of the Lord. You know what? The devil has no power in the presence of the Lord. Amen? So you know what? If you don't want the devil having power in your life, we need to have the presence of the Lord in our hearts. Amen? All right, I'm gonna go back to my scripture. And so he went out of the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores, and from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery, and he scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Or basically, are you saying that you haven't done anything to bring this onto you? She says, curse God and die. I want to stop right there for just a second. She said, curse God and die. And so I want us to see that Job replied to his wife in a way that I would never reply to Shelley. he says, woman, you're talking like a foolish woman. Guys, don't talk to your wife like that. All right. He said, should we accept the good from God and not the trouble? Basically, what he's saying is there's going to be good times and there's going to be bad times. And, you know, I think sometimes we as Christians or people that have come to Christ, we think that everything's going to be roses and sunshine. We're not going to have any problems. Everything's going to go our way. We're going to live on the mountaintop from now on, right? Well, I just want you to know something this morning. There's going to be some valleys. Sometimes you're going to go down into the valley. But today I want to encourage you to hold fast. Hold fast to your faith, because I want you to understand the valley is really not a time of despair. It's not a time to be in fear. Now, I want you to catch this. The valley is only there just to remind us that we're changing mountaintops. Amen? We're not mountain hoppers. We got to go through this life. You know, we can't just jump from one mountain to the next. God's going to take us from here to there, but we're going to go through a valley so that you'll know that you're changing mountains. Amen? All right. I want us to look at another verse here in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast. You see how the scripture's not saying let go? When we read God's word, he's telling us to hold fast. He said, let us hold fast to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This morning, I want to tell you, you need to hold fast. Don't let go because of what's coming into your life. You know, we have to believe what we say and say what we believe. I don't want us shouting for God today and throwing in the towel tomorrow. We have to hold on to our faith this morning. And that's my whole message, is to hold on to your faith this morning and don't go backwards. I want us to take a look at another verse here in Hebrews. Hebrews 10:22a and 23. So it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings. Let us hold fast to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You see, we can't afford at this time in our life, in this time of history, we can't afford to let go now. We can't lose our grip. You know, there's storms that are coming against our lives, and there's circumstances that are coming against you, and there's dark days that you didn't plan for. And every one of those things is coming to try to get you to let go and let go of your faith in God. But I want to encourage you today to hold fast to God. I want to share with you a story about these five young people. Back on an August day in 2005, there was five young people, and they were just adventurous, and they had been hearing about a cave that they wanted to go explore. And so they got up on an August morning, and they went to this cave. And as you go into the cave, you get inside. Well, then there's a lake inside there. And so they had been hearing that if you go down into the water, you can grab a rope and swim under the rocks, and you'll come out in a second part of the cave. So one of them said, "You know what? I'll wait here." That'd be me. And the other four, they got into the water and they grabbed the rope, took a deep breath, pulled themselves on the rope. They went underneath the rocks and they came up in the other cave. They explored it for a while. And then the guy that's sitting on the other side waiting on him to come back, he waited about an hour. And an hour turned into two, and then more. And then finally he decided, "Man, I better call somebody. I better get some help." So he called the police, and they brought out the professional divers, and they went into this dark, what they called dark water, and they started looking for these people. And what they realized was that the rope took you into the second cave, and the rope would bring you back. But if you let go of the rope and kept going, you would pass the entrance or the exit to come out, and you would go into a dead end of the cave. And that's what had happened. And these four people, they found them, and they had drowned in this cave. And so you think, why did this happen? It all happened because they let go of the rope as they were coming back. They didn't hold fast. We have to hold fast. We can't afford to let go of our ropes. Our rope this morning would be your deepest belief, your vision for the future, the promises that God has spoken over you. Every one of those things is like a rope that God has given to you. And I want us to understand that this morning there's going to be times when your way becomes muddy and dark and you don't know which way to go. But if you let go, you'll die in your cave. But if you'll hold on to the rope, if you'll just hold on to the promises of God, I want you to know, those of us that hold on, we don't need to see what's in front of us because we know where the rope is going to take us. Amen?
Amen.
And for those of us who hold on, we can hold on to that rope with all the assurance that God is going to provide for us this morning. I want you to catch something about this as we're talking about this whole holding on to the rope. I want you to understand that Satan cannot pull the rope from your hand. He can only deceive you into letting go. That's the only thing he can do. Satan cannot pull one of the promises of God out of your hand. He can only try to get you to let go of the promises that God's made you this morning. Amen? So I want to tell you this morning, don't let go of your rope. Don't let go of your promises. When fear enters your life, this is what I want you to do. I want you to grab onto the promise of John 16:33. It says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." When you're going through a sickness, I want you to grab the promise of Psalms 30, verse 2. "Lord, my God, I called you for help and you healed me." When your life is full of burdens, and I want you to grab the promise of Matthew 11:28. It says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Somebody needs some rest this morning. When you feel like you can't keep your head above water, I want you to grab the promise of Philippians 4:19. It says, "And my God shall meet all your needs according to the riches of glory." When you say, "I don't know what to do with my kids, Pastor Jack," I want you to grab the promise, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen? But you know, you might be here saying this morning, but Job lost his family. He lost his animals. He lost everything except for his life. Yeah, but I want to tell you something. He didn't lose his promise this morning. The reason he didn't lose his promise was because he refused to let go of his faith in God. Just because things got tough and things weren't going his way, even when his wife and other people were telling him, look, you just need to let go, he refused to. Why? Because Job knew that the promises of God were yes and amen. He knew that God could not and God would not fail him. Amen. I want you to know something. Some of us this morning, including myself at times, we've forgotten this. Or maybe we just didn't even know the promises of God in the first place. Let me pause here for a minute. Boy, isn't that a good reason to get into the Word of God every day? Get those promises into your heart, into your mind, so that when you have something, you need to hold on to something, you have it. Amen. But we do. We forget this at times. And hard times come our way and we begin to lose faith and we're ready to let go. We're a lot like that person in that movie where they're just holding on to one hand. I'm going to tell you, I don't understand that one bit, holding on to one hand in these movies. If that was me, I'm going to tell you, I'd be grabbing on with a monkey grip with both hands. I'd be trying to climb up the sleeve of that person. I wouldn't be wasting a moment of breath or energy trying to say let go. I'd be digging as deep as I could, trying to find every bit of strength to get me out of that situation. Amen? And I want to stand with me if you would. If you're here this morning and you're saying, look, Pastor Jack, I'm just barely holding on today. I'm just barely holding on. I want to encourage you, if that's you, I want to encourage you to dig deep this morning and hold on to the promises of God, because God cannot and he will not fail you. If you're here this morning and that's you, you're just barely holding on. You're just thinking, man, I don't know where you're at, God. I'm about to let go. Just let go of me. Let me go. If that's you this morning, I want you to just simply say, God, give me the strength to grab on with both hands. Give me the strength to stand and just to hold on to you this morning, God. And I'm going to tell you something. God will never let go of you. You've got to let go of him. You've got to decide to say, you know what? It's over. I can't do this anymore. So I want you to pray this morning that God would give you a newfound strength, a super strength that says, God, I'm tired of just holding on with one hand. I'm going to give you my all. I'm going to hold on with both hands and I'm going to get out of this situation because I know that your promise is for me. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, a plans to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you. You see, God has a plan. His plan isn't to say, well, I got you on the edge of this cliff. You want me to let go, just drop you? His plan is to pull you out of those dark places and out of those situations, and so that you can see how powerful he is. Amen. So I want to pray with you this morning, if that's you. And if you're here this morning and you haven't even given your heart to Christ, you say, Pastor Jack, I've never asked Jesus into my heart. Man, I can't imagine living in this time of life, in this day and age, and not having my hand in the Master's hand. Now, I lived a lot of days that I didn't. I ran from him. I didn't have my hand in his. But you see, I want you to understand something. Some of us in this room, we're thinking, well, you know, I've done everything you've asked me to do, Lord. Why is this coming against me? It's not because you've done something wrong, you've made a bad choice, you've messed up. It's because you've got your hand in his. You see, the devil, he doesn't mess with those that's wearing the same jersey he's wearing. It's the ones that's on the opposite team that he's looking to take down. So, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get our hand in the hand of the Master this morning. We need to hold on with both hands. We need to say, Jesus, get me out of this. And he will. He's got a promise for you this morning. Let's pray. Father, I love you today. I'm just so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity to come into your house this morning with other believers. And God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this story of Job. Even as hard as it is to read and to understand sometimes, God, that's the way life is. Sometimes it's hard to understand. Why are these things happening to me? Did I mess up? Did I make a bad choice? Sometimes it's not because we did that. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. And so, God, today I just want to encourage each person in this room today. God, when they find themselves in a dark, muddy water somewhere, not to let go of the rope that you've tossed them, not to let go of your hand. And Lord, that your promises for their life cannot and will not be broken. Lord, help us to not let go of our faith in a world that's telling us to all just let it go. God, help us to hold on today in Jesus' name. Father, for those that haven't asked you into their life today, Father, I pray that they'd come to a point of decision today and they'd call out on you and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I believe that you died for me. And so now, Jesus, I ask you to come in and forgive me. Be my redeemer. Save me, Lord, so that I can walk with you from this day forward. And Father, I just know right now that if anyone prayed that prayer, that their sins are washed away, they're forgiven, and now that their hand is in yours, God, that you'll never let go of them. It'll be their choice if they turn back now. God, I love you, and I thank you for your word this morning. I pray, God, that it would go and encourage someone. It would lift them up. It would give them the strength that they need to hold on, because, Father, I don't want to see any one of us letting go of you today. Lord, I just thank you once again. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen.